Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, guys. It's Vaughn Harris here with another Panther Rants podcast. Well, it's Monday after a great weekend of games. Well, it depends on, you know, what you're a fan of. And, of course, you know, it's my last day of on-call here for the hospital. So I'm up hoping this pager doesn't go off anytime soon, as I have to commute across town. But, obviously, if you're an Eagles fan, you're ecstatic as hell. You're probably still celebrating. If you're a Steelers fan, well, it depends on what kind of Steelers fan you are. You're either worried about whether or not New England is going to get their sixth Super Bowl, or you're just bitter as hell because another Pennsylvania team is in the Super Bowl. And, you know, they're obviously going to get all the attention from everybody. Politicians, celebrities, all kind of stuff. And yeah, Pittsburgh does, you know, it's been said that Pittsburgh has an inferiority complex with Philadelphia, but if you look at it, the argument is that Philly gets everything. Well, I mean, of course they are, because they're the fourth largest city. Well, I'm not sure that they're the fourth largest city anymore, but they're one of the largest cities in the country. I know they were at least one time top five largest cities. So, in the case if you're the Pennsylvania governor, that's your bread and butter, and you want to keep taking care of that area. And also mainly because of its location, of where it runs alongside, you know, Baltimore, Maryland, D.C., Philly, Jersey's around there, New York. So you want to keep, you know, up with the Joneses pretty much in that area. For me, I could care less. I'm not worried if the Steelers' six Super Bowls is matched. At one time, I remember when the Steelers' four Super Bowl was matched. In fact, it wasn't just matched, it was beaten. And it didn't bother me one bit. And that's when the 49ers got their fifth Super Bowl. And then eventually Dallas would get their fifth as well. And it was a win, it was a win over us that got them that fifth Super Bowl. So it just is what it is. At the end of the day, we're going to be tied for six Super Bowls if they win. And so what? We technically still have the most Super Bowls. Yeah, we're sharing it with somebody that we hate, but it just, you know, it happens like that. I mean, you could probably say this at this juncture, New England's dynasty is probably the best ever. It actually is the best ever because of what they've been able to do over this period. And not just the Super Bowls, but the AFC title appearances. And they did it in an era of free agency where it's hard, and salary cap, where it's hard to keep a lot of these players in one place. Whereas the Steelers of the 70s, they were able to do that. And, you know, not so much with New England. I mean, they were able to keep a good part. I mean, for most part in the early years, they were able to keep part of their nucleus intact. You know, whether it was Brady, Troy Brown, Teddy Bruschi. Now it's Brady, Gronk, Amendola, all those guys. They've been able to keep in place. So, but they're facing the Eagles in a rematch of the Super Bowl from 2004. Eagles lost that game, I think, by, I think it was 24-21 or 24-20, I forget, but I know it was close. And that was the year that the Eagles had T.O. And that would be the best year Donovan McNabb would have statistically, I believe, with T.O. there. Because if there's one thing that Donovan McNabb was missing that year, you know, ever, was a go-to receiver, because they went to several AFC title games, if I'm correctly. Or no, they at least went to the playoffs, and when the playoffs came, they always came up short. They would always knock out Tampa Bay. But finally, when they get to the AFC title game the year before, and they have Tampa Bay beats them. That's because they exposed Philly's offense for the most part, because they lacked the go-to guy receiver. So they pick up T.O. and the Eagles pretty much kicked ass all year. And of course there was drama, and of course with T.O. there's always been drama. That's the thing that was always the thing about T.O. was, or Terrell Owens, if we're getting technical here. He was really talented at his job. He was really good. It's just, people did like the sideshow from him. I mean, the guy wasn't a thug, which, you know, a term like that gets used so very loosely. I mean, the guy didn't participate in thuggish behavior or anything like that. He celebrated, he danced. Caught an attitude here and there. He was more of a diva. But he was really good, and you would want him on your team no matter what. And that's what the Eagles did. They went out and got him. And, you know, he got hurt at one point, and he came back for the Super Bowl. And I remember there were people in the media calling him selfish because of it. But he went, he played his ass off. Whereas you have a guy like Brett Favre, who at the time was bad, he could throw four interceptions and he would call him being heroic. But as far as this weekend's games go, I had the Eagles winning 24-7. I figured the Vikings would come out and score early, but the Eagles would eventually take over. Because for one thing, it was a late game. And by the time the link was going to be packed, was going to be awesome. And there's no way the Vikings were going to be able to overtake that. If it was, they would have a better chance if it was an earlier game. But by that time, it was, you know, they were so hyped that it just wasn't going to happen. Jacksonville, this worked out for them. I mean, they, you know, they call it a great game. It's just you got to play mistake free and against New England, and they, you know, they made a few gaffes before the end of the first half, and you knew that was the beginning of the end. Jacksonville only can manage two field goals in the second half, and that was a big difference. They could not get in the end zone, and they had opportunities to put the Patriots away, even without scoring. They didn't have to score. All they had to do was get the clock up. They could have just went for a third field goal, if anything. But it didn't happen. And it sucks for me because I had the Jags win 24-16. But Brady, as I call him, the Hulk Hogan of the NFL, which the Patriots pretty much are, the Hulk Hogan of the NFL, because of how the NFL's built them up. Tony Romo set the tone in the fourth quarter as it started. Talked about New England being down 10 and Tom Brady, you know, oh, here we go, here we go, here we go. And you saw what happened. The mood was set, and then eventually Brady would give the late drop to the Jaguars, and that was it. It was all unfortunate. I mean, it sucks, but Patriots are not damn good. I mean, he did without Gronkowski. I mean, everybody thought that was a huge deal, losing him. He just threw the ball at Danny Amendola instead. And he took advantage of other matchups. But Super Bowl comes. It's hard to see who I like now. It's early. I mean, right now I would like the Eagles because of how great they played, but you're giving New England 2 weeks to game plan now. But of course, Doug Peterson, you know, he's for Eagles, he's calling a heck of a game, and Nick Foles played really well. So, I think it'll be an exciting game. I mean, as much as I dread another Patriots Super Bowl in the Super Bowl again, I will be at the bar watching it like the sucker I am, because I love this stuff, which is the same reason why Pirates fans will go to the PNC Park this summer, despite what had happened. It was happening in free agency. They hate it, but they'll be back. They've been going back for the last 20 so years. They'll go back again. So spare me the boycotting of opening day. You'll be back next week after that. Because it's really not going to change much, to be honest. But who knows? Maybe that petition of 50,000 signatures, as last I looked. Who knows? Maybe it will have some sort of effect. Maybe Pirates will kind of listen. But until the revenue drops, it's not going to matter a thing. I mean, you have to vote with your wallet. Because they can't really move the franchise right now. They're not in a position to do that. I mean, I'm sure if they're magically still playing at Three River Stadium, maybe they can move the Pirates then, but they can't right now. They have a new ballpark. I mean, it's still practically new. I mean, the ballpark is like 17 years old. It still looks like a brand new ballpark. I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, it looks new and it stays new. I mean, that's what you want out of your ballpark. Unless you want to be like Atlanta and build one every 20 years now. But moving on from all that. As I wrap up my NFL comments, I like to say that it sucks the viewership has dropped in the NFL because I think this is the best season they've ever had. Although people are going to tell me that, some people have told me on Twitter that the on-field has been terrible because how the refs have been screwing up the games. It's true, the on-field product is lacking. But the off the field product is what's really making this league good. It's like a drama, a lot of side stories, a lot of this, a lot of that. In the case of the Steelers, you got Le'Veon Bell, who's refusing now to he doesn't want to be franchised. If not, he sits out, retires. So there you go. There's another side story for you. And of course, the issue with Le'Veon Bell now is he was late for the team's walkthrough. And I really don't know what they do in walkthroughs. And I don't know. I mean, I would say look at his stats that game and see if it really matters. Whether or not he was late or not. But yeah, you have coaches like Jerry Olsowski who showed up late to the game, which I don't understand at all. It's a playoff game and you're late? Come on. And you're a coach. So I don't know. Personally, I think coaches should lead by example. And if you're showing up late to... And if this is a thing where coaches are showing up late to games or practices, then there you go. And the players think they can do it too. And of course, the Steelers now get to watch James Harrison play in the Super Bowl. Alright. Going on to some other things. Pitt played over the weekend for hoops. Lost to Duke really bad. They kept up with Duke with part of the first half, and then that was that. After that, it was just a massacre. So, the big one was early in the game. Grayson went for the dunk. Kenny Chukwuma, I bet I butchered that name, but oh well. Just following Grayson Allen, I guess he pulls up, grazes Allen's leg, and he falls, obviously. It's obviously a big issue. Duke obviously plays the victim like they always do. And it seems to be pretty common with these ACC teams. Like Louisville and Duke, they play victim when something happens to them, when they've been doing it to other people. So Grace Allen, who has a habit of tripping people over the years, and you got people who don't feel why this is such a big deal. Well, it's a big deal because what if he injures somebody? It could happen. I'm hearing sirens. I don't know where they're coming from. So Grayson has a habit of doing this. It happens to him, and of course, Duke's obviously playing victim. And of course, for Grayson, this trip, I guess, ignited a fire within him. Come on, dude, seriously. You need a fire lit inside you to play Pitt. Coach K could have played his walk-ons against us and still would have won. But Pitt didn't break 60 at all, and I don't think they've broken 60 at all in this conference slate. at all. Parker Stewart seems to be our best weapon on offense, as everybody else is taking a back seat, which sucks. But in the end, it's just a bad season. But if we're going to the other side of the spectrum, we have TCU, who started out 12-0 in non-conference play, didn't play a single road game, and they start out the Big 12 slate, and they start out 2-5. Three of their losses, pretty much all their losses have been close losses. They've been 5 points or less. Two heartbreakers to Oklahoma. And hey, if you can take Oklahoma to the to overtime and or to crunch time with Trae Young on their team, hey, you're doing something good. Because here's the thing, if I'm a Pitt fan, I'm glad Trae Young is not in the ACC. Heck, I'm glad Pitt is not playing Oklahoma in non-conference. Because he would probably break Bill Chamberlain's scoring record on us. That's how bad we are. So it's really hard for me to poke fun at TCU's starting the Big 12. When we haven't won a conference great game, let alone break 60, let alone lose by single digits. So it's hard for me to it's hard for me to poke fun at that. And Jamie's always been good at mastering the RPI. He knows who or what to schedule usually. And it's worked out, because I know early in his Pitt career, he had to modify his scheduling because of how the committee was. They would always screw us over in seating. Like the 08-09 team, they had a really good non-conference schedule, because a lot of the teams they played, even the Cupcakes, had winning records. Some of them won their conferences. So Jamie was a pro at it. He knew what to do. But I'm trying to figure out how he pulled off not having to play a home game on the road in non-conference. I mean, that's awesome. But yeah, the man's gone. But like I said, it's hard for me to poke fun of one coach, one team, when my own team sucks really bad. Plus, the Big 12 is a deep league this year. Although in the NCAA tournament, the results have been not desirable, because other than Kansas winning the championship years back, probably about 10 years ago, 10 or 11 years ago, they haven't really done much since. Heck, even the last 20, 25 years, the Big 12 hasn't really done a whole lot in the tournament. Last I looked. So, maybe we'll see a different Big 12 this year in the NCAA tournament. Because it looks like it's a deep league. I mean, it's a tough league this year. A lot of talented teams. But we'll see come tournament time, as always. And as on the football side, we had a pass signal yesterday, and we don't know who the pass signal is. We just know we got a commitment for somebody. Don't know who, but somebody. And I'm sure we'll find out eventually. Don't know who, how, or when, where, or when. Oh, well. Anyways, guys, I've had enough fun for today. I'm sure you have, too. Eagles fans, I hope you're still partying. And if you're not, you're not partying enough. So enjoy all that. Stay away from the police, or else you'll be in the drunk tank if you're not there already. It's another Patriots Super Bowl. But hey, you know what? On the flip side of it, Patriots win. Deion Lewis and Nick Grigsby get rings. Deion Lewis will get another ring. Grigsby will get a ring. So hey, regardless, Pitt wins out in this. Oh well. Hello, Pitt. Have a good week, guys.